When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan,
101.9 FM, huh?
And always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Ba, 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 ba. Good about
nothing
it.
To do to save his life, call his wife and
hey! 403, McMonagle here with you. I'm getting in a better mood now. I got into an argument with a caller. I'm feeling a little more spry. And I appreciate the opinion, but I'm sorry. I can't fathom what the Falcons did. I can't fathom what Buffalo did. But that's not our team, so we don't worry about it so much. At least not at 403. 403, we're focused on the dirty Philadelphia 76ers. And Embiid should have been thrown out of that game. That's a flagrant two if I've ever seen one. Just pulling a shooter down while he's up in the air. As if you didn't see it, go back and watch it. Yes, Philadelphia won game three. The Knicks are up 2-1 as they take a couple days off and get ready for game four on Sunday. Embiid went absolutely off. The team went absolutely off in the third quarter. And just a barrage of three-pointers that separated themselves from the Knicks. They held on down the stretch. Knicks were a little sloppy with the basketball. 125-114. Philadelphia takes game three. Embiid was incredible. 50-point performance. Amazing what he's doing on one leg. But man, oh man, what a dirty son of a gun. In the whole team. I mean, now I don't know if Lowry really was trying to hit DiVincenzo in the head, but his head was pretty far away from the basketball. And then obviously Embiid, whether it's kneeing Hartenstein in the junk or whether it's pulling down Mitchell Robinson from his ankles while he's up in the air. I mean, it's just an absolute embarrassment. That was as dirty for a guy who, listen, I got to give him credit where credit is due. He made a statement. He still has to finish that off. He guaranteed a victory in the series, not just in game three. But he came out there, he put his money where his mouth is and made some statements after game two after their embarrassing loss and blowing a 5-point lead with 40 seconds left. He did come out and put up a 50-point performance and will his team to victory and hit 5 out of 7 three-pointers, including 4 during a third-quarter barrage where nobody missed for Philadelphia. But another storyline here is one with Mitchell Robinson and his ankle as he's in a boot leaving the building, didn't play in the second half, and is probably, you know, questionable at the very least for game four, hopefully just questionable. But Embiid is a dirty player. And I don't think the Knicks have made many excuses the way they were, the same way Philadelphia was crying after game two and the foul calls. And Nick Nurse, who was very all on top of the video, was very aware of how close his hands came together for timeouts and when and where and referees ignoring him. And the last 2 minutes, Philadelphia is filing grievances. And yet he has no idea, when asked about whether or not he was concerned Embiid would get a flagrant two and kicked out of the game for, I don't know, dragging a player to the ground when he was up in the air while Embiid was on the floor. No, I didn't see it. You know, I didn't get a chance to look at it yet. Shocking. Shocking. Bunch of crybabies in Philadelphia and dirty players. And that, you know, I understand he came and scored 50, but still, that still leads to the part of just soft. That's a soft move, getting knocked to the ground and pulling players down with you. And he could have severely hurt Mitchell Robinson, and he should have been thrown out of the game. I knew he wouldn't be. No one's expecting the superstar to get thrown out of the game that early into the game in his home building. But man, oh man, what a joke that was. And the Knicks, I'm not saying retaliate. No one, you can't dive at his legs. Don't stoop to their level. But you know what? There's got to be some sort of adjustment for this team in being a little bit more physical and figuring out a way to slow Embiid down. And maybe that's attacking him offensively as well. You know, going after him offensively. Clearly, if Mitchell Robinson isn't around, you're going to have to figure out a way to defend him. I know Achiuwa played a little bit after the Mitchell Robinson injury. I don't know who you're going to have to throw at him. Hartenstein, I don't know, is capable. You're going to have to double team him. You're going to have to do something. Because even on one leg, what he's capable of is dominating this series. And then also, got to be a little physical with them because this is, I mean, they got to the line. I know the, you know, the epitome of squeaky wheel gets the grease. Them complaining after game two led to a disparity in free throws. Embiid got to the free throw line more than 20 times, which is more than the entire Knicks team. And then they pull this crap. Now it's a series. Now we're in it. Nobody expected a sweep, but now there's a little, as the Knicks fans invaded Philadelphia, as their ticket prices fell, and you could hear a good contingent of Knicks fans right behind the bench and that side of the basket, certainly. Now they're dirty, and now it's for real. And then, of course, we get to the draft. And for me, I wouldn't say disappointed. I am disappointed. What the hell? I'm disappointed with the Giants pick. I understand it. I'm glad. I suppose I'm glad they didn't reach if they don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. And they did a good job making us all believe they were in favor of almost any quarterback in this draft. But clearly, they had a desire to move up to get May with the third pick. But obviously, the New England Patriots had no intention of doing anything else but drafting them themselves. They couldn't move up to get him. And that was the only quarterback they were willing to draft. Instead, they take Neighbors out of LSU, who is a dynamic wide receiver, and that's great. But unfortunately, there's still Daniel Jones throwing him the football. And I just have no faith in Daniel Jones, and now it's not an exciting pick to me. A lot of Giant fans, I don't want to rain on parades. I know a lot of Giant fans are excited to have an explosive wide receiver, the first one in this organization since Odell, and it's been a particularly poor position for the New York Giants since, without a lot of explosion, without a lot of real, you know, explosive athletes, and clearly without a number one wide receiver for this team. But this is now it. That's it. Daniel Jones got a bunch of different linemen that they've added to this team. They've revamped the line a little bit. Hopefully Evan Neal plays better. They have a stud left tackle. Hopefully Thomas can stay healthy. And now they've given him the wide receiver. So this is it, you Daniel Jones people. This is it. You're going to get one more season with him. And then what happens when you lose? That's what bothers me about the pick. Because ultimately, I don't think Neighbors without a quarterback helps this team enough where they're not the worst team in this division. It's certainly the worst quarterback in the division. It's certainly still with Neighbors probably the worst wide receiver group in the division. You could argue it's the worst defense in the division. Worst running back group in the division. And what happens if they lose? What happens if they lose? Where will they be next year? Will Shane and Dable be allowed to draft and develop a quarterback? Oh, don't worry, Chris. They'll get a quarterback next year. Yeah, exactly how? Maybe they could take one of the Falcons. They have a surplus. But I trusted Dable to develop a quarterback. I don't know who the coach may be next year. And if you're Mara, and this is another miserable season, do you allow Joe Shane and Brian Dable to draft a quarterback, knowing that means multiple years with that GM and coach tandem? Do you have faith in them if there's another miserable year? I just don't know where the franchise is next year. And as exciting a player as Neighbors may be, I just can't find myself too excited about it. Because Daniel Jones is still the quarterback, and I see no future. There is nothing between me and more of the, oh, let's just give Daniel Jones one more year crowd. And I can't take him anymore. I can't take the give Daniel Jones one more year crowd. And yet here we are. Here we are. 877-337-6666. The Jets trade back with Minnesota to 11 to trade Olu Fashanu, who I do believe to be the second best tackle in the league, in the draft, and something I guess they needed. But again, doesn't excite me. Because ultimately, and I understand at the position you're looking at, you know, Tyrone Smith and Morgan Moses, and Smith certainly hasn't played a full season in forever. So to expect one out of him is probably pie in the sky. But ultimately, I want to impact this team as much as possible. And I know you got a block for Aaron Rodgers. And I know they did try to move up and get Odunze. I know they tried to move up and get the wide receiver for him. But a lineman who, if everything goes right, doesn't play that much and isn't part of your playoff roster, or isn't part of your playoff starting lineup, I just have a hard time getting pumped about it. So ultimately, boring, but maybe overall the best they could do from both of our teams in the draft. So I'm not disappointed. I'm not upset. I'm just, I'm not excited. I am not excited with the draft last night. And the Knicks pissed me off, and the Sixers pissed me off. And now the fact that I forgot to bring a glass of water in here is really pissing me off. But I think I'll make it through. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
Like a good neighbor, I know you're not excited about him, but I think we're going to get our quarterback in this draft coming up, and then we're going to get Ray Davis, the running back from Kentucky. We're going to be okay.
Are you going to get a quarterback now in the draft? What quarterback do you like in the draft left?
I think the kid from Florida State. I know no one's talking about him. He's not 100%, but I think our guys can make that kid work. I'm telling you. He's going to be who we're going to draft, and we're going to work him. I'm telling you, we're going to get that quarterback. We're going to get a quarterback. You're going to be okay. Relax, because we got a plan. I like it. I think this kid's he's a great receiver. He's going to help the team. And that's all I can say. I'm excited about the Knight is your neighbor. I'm your neighbor.
Yeah.
That's number one.
I know. Listen, I know how good he is. I can't get excited about the team as long as the future is Daniel Jones. I just can't.
Christopher, stick with me here, Christopher.
I'm trying.
All right. Just have some patience.
I have patience, but here it is. My patience has run thin. And my father always told me, I'll never be a doctor if I have no patience. But
I love it. But that's a dad joke.
Isn't that a good dad joke? Yes.
He also would say, writing a book,
leave out a chapter and call it a mystery. Those are his two big ones. But
my father's old thing was, you're a treasure. Let's bury you.
Yeah. I'm just saying, this is it now. My patience has worn completely thin on Daniel Jones. He gets one more year, and I don't want it. There's no excuses left. I don't want to hear next year at the draft, hey, we have so many holes. Let's see what Daniel Jones can be. All he had was neighbors. That was it. Nobody else was good. The offensive line still struggled. I don't want to hear any more of it.
I hate to tell you this. Brett was right. No, I'm kidding.
Waiting for Brett to call in. Listen.
I can't wait. And
I still don't think I'll argue with him. I know he's going to argue back. I still don't believe this is Jones either.
I'm with you.
Well, not only that,
we're in a jam. We have to pay him.
Well, clearly, I still don't think this is necessarily a stamp on how the Giants feel about Daniel Jones. I think it was more a stamp on they only believed in May, and I think they tried very hard. I think they were willing. There were some reports earlier in the day about what a package would look like, and it was obviously the sixth pick. A pick later in this draft and a first-round pick next year. I think the Giants would have absolutely paid that package, but I don't think it was good enough. I think the Patriots were not going anywhere near trading this pick.
They wanted him. And then
so I think it's more about less love of J.J. McCarthy than it is love of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, at least we have something to make fun of Sal now with his two quarterbacks. At least we got that. And then the last thing is with the Yankees. This is the same story. I'm telling you, Christopher, I can't take it. Year after year, hitters, no hitters. They can't move damn runners over. They can't score any runs. I know they have a good record, but this is the same thing year in. And now we have a bullpen issue. year in, year out, and now we have a bullpen issue.
Well, I mean, the bullpen's, hasn't been, and Maury, thank you for the call. The bullpen hasn't been awful. I know some of the numbers are inflated with a couple of bad performances from each one, but Clay Holmes at the end's been great, and the starting pitching. I mean, Nestor Cortez gives up 3 runs in this game, but Nestor Cortez has been great. Rodon's been great. The starting pitching's been really good. And the offense got 10 hits in this game. They just couldn't come through with the big hit. I mean, that first inning was unacceptable. I mean, you get the problem for me isn't the strikeout. If you look back at that at-bat, and nobody's watching it because last night was so impactful, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on the Yankees, even though this is Yankee Hot Stove, 877-337-6666. Stanton gets a fastball 2-0 down the middle at 93 miles an hour, and he fouls it back. You want to look at the game? You want to watch the Yankee game? Because you missed it yesterday because you had the Islanders losing Game 3 and going down 0-3 to the Carolina Hurricanes, or you were focused on the Knicks or the NFL draft. You want to go back and watch the Yankee game? Just go to Stanton's at-bat in the first inning and watch him foul back a 2-0 fastball 93 miles an hour right down the middle. That's it. That's all you need to know. And then obviously the double plays, but that was the opportunity to blow the game open, and they couldn't do it. And this offense has struggled, yes, but if you go back to opening day, that was opening day. They had like a bunch of double plays and then broke through and managed to win. This team hasn't been that. This team has just gone cold. They got 10 hits in this game. They got 10 hits in this game and couldn't come through with the big hit. The other, you know, they Wood made the pitches every time and got double plays, but they did have 10 hits in this game. It wasn't one of those games where it was just, oh, they're dead. There's nothing going on. There's no base runners. There's no nothing. What a boring watch. They just couldn't get the big hit. But again, Yankees on the back burner. They're still just fine. Dave in Pennsylvania. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you
good
doing?
Morning. How are we doing?
Could be better, but I mean, I'm not going to lie. Listening to you and talking to you is literally making my night a little bit better.
Oh, well, morning. Thank you very much. Thank you. Making your morning better, David. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Rough going for the Knicks, you know. Ugh. I mean, so I was watching the game at a sports bar at Penn State tonight, and I mean, you'd be surprised. There's actually a good amount of Knicks fans shit up tonight, but obviously it was Philly dominated, and that was a little bit of a rough night.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really – I don't know if they dominated. I mean, they dominated in that third quarter. The Knicks outscored Philadelphia in every other quarter in the game except the third, and they just didn't miss a shot. So to me, if you want the positive angle, here's the positive angle from the Knicks. Jalen Brunson got going, and it took a 50-point performance and a third quarter where they didn't miss a shot to beat them. And hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully those things don't happen. I don't expect another third quarter where, you know – Cameron Payne doesn't miss a shot, and Embiid hits four straight three-pointers. And, like, I don't know if that could happen again. And Embiid, as good as he's been overall in this series, I mean, 50 points is spectacular. And hopefully he doesn't get to the line 20-plus times for 19 made foul shots. I mean, they got to figure something out. They got to make an adjustment. Here's Tibbs. Here it is, Tibbs, right? He's had a – what's his M.O.? The negative M.O. on Tibbs is running players into the ground and – inability to make adjustments. There has to be an adjustment made on how to slow down Embiid. They have to figure something out, even if they're without Mitchell Robinson, which I admit would make it a lot tougher.
Very true. Yeah, I mean, I know we already talked about it, but like that was a very dirty play by Embiid dragging down Mitchell Robinson on that. I mean, because everybody, I mean, I had like Sixers fans behind me, and they even were like, what was that? You know, like everyone was just like
he literally just pulls him down out of the air.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt, unnecessary. And I agree, he should have been tossed. I mean, I knew they weren't going to toss him, but like that was not worth. I don't even know what to call that.
David, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It's a flagrant to any day of the week, and I hate to do whataboutism, but if that were Mitchell Robinson taking down Embiid. Imagine if he pulled Embiid down and Embiid went down and held his knee. Imagine what would have happened. That's as dirty as it gets, man. And that's why, like, if you take, I understand the 50 points, I have to give him credit. But if you look at the way they blew the game the other night, then the post game and how soft they acted, his guarantee of victory while not even like looking at with his head down in his hands, and then he comes out and he starts throwing knees and pulling people down out of the air from his ass. Like that, if you really watch that play and how dangerous it could be, Mitchell Robinson's up in the air, he grabs him by his ankles and pulls him down. For a guy of Mitchell Robinson's size, who for big men, ankles and feet are such an issue, I mean, that is a unacceptable play. That is a absolute flagrant two, and he should have been pulled out of the game. That is, I mean, nowhere near a basketball play. It's one of the dirtier plays I've seen. It's not as blatant as, like, you know, punching Rudy Tomjanovich right in the face, but it's like, it's what are you trying to accomplish there? He got knocked to the ground, and he wanted other people to suffer too. That's what happened. He got knocked to the ground by OG, and he was like, well, if I'm down here, you're coming with me. Michael in Pennsylvania. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? I'm going to go through the four picks. I love Will Madunze. I mean, the Giants pick Malik Nabers.
Yes.
Like it. Even if they don't, even if Daniel Jones doesn't come back next year, at least they have a piece for the next quarterback.
Well, he's got to come. Jets, he's got to. Oh, you mean after this year? After this year coming?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, so I mean, I guess they have a piece for next year. No doubt he's going to be here for a while, but I don't know how they get the quarterback. They were in a position to get the quarterback now. I don't know what happens next year. I mean, I guess there's a chance they're miserable because Daniel Jones is hurt or bad, which is what happens every year Daniel Jones plays, save one. And if that happens, now do they trust? My whole point is I trust Brian Daboll to develop this quarterback. That's why I brought him here. And now will ownership trust this group to draft a quarterback, meaning you have to see it through? So if they have another miserable season, is John Mara going to say, okay, go draft a quarterback now and I'll give you three more years? Like, because that's what it takes.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't. And then what coach do you hire? Do you have to? Now, are you forced into hiring an offensive coach because you need to develop this young quarterback that you're going to have to draft? Like, I understand the pick, and I've said it from the beginning. I didn't want them to reach at quarterback. I didn't want them to reach. I wanted them to be sure. That's why I wanted to trade up. That's why, despite everything, and they don't have a second round pick because they traded for the pass rusher. You know, why would you give up your whole draft? Because I want them to take the quarterback they love. That was the best thing for me. And obviously, they didn't love J.J. McCarthy, so they didn't do it. I mean, I didn't like J.J. McCarthy either, but I would have been on board had they done it, because it would have meant they believed in him. Because I think you clearly see they wouldn't have taken a quarterback they didn't believe in, which they didn't. But I just don't know how much Neighbors helps this team. Not with Daniel Jones. I just don't know. You got something on the Falcons, too?
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons are mind blown. But the main point when you were arguing with that guy that I think you were beating around with the contract was...
Duncan.
The main point... Yeah, with that guy. The main point is that when you get a rookie contract, the contract resets. It's on the rookie deal. So it allows teams to go in and get other free agents. I mean, look what's going on with C.J. Stroud. They just stocked that team.
Of course.
They got Diggs. They got a ton of free agents.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense. You're telling, when that GM says, then 5 years from now, they're going to pay him. So what are they going to do? They're going to pay him a max contract? So you did nothing. I agree 100%.
It makes no sense. Like, you just said it perfectly. Like, this is a good way to look at it. They did it backwards. When you have the young quarterback that you draft, you're allowed, because of the rookie contract, it affords you to go spend money elsewhere. That's exactly why you do it. So theoretically, I know it happened in reverse order. They paid Cousins first and then drafted Penix. But ultimately, what they did was draft Penix and give him the rookie deal and allow them, cap-wise, to spend money elsewhere on the roster and then spent it at the same position. It makes no sense. That's theoretically what they did. They drafted a rookie quarterback, which affords them to put money into the rest of the roster, just like you said it, perfectly said, like C.J. Stroud and the Texans, but they went out and paid wide receivers. They went out and paid defensive players. They went out and put the rest of the team around him. The Falcons drafted a young quarterback and said, what should we do with all this money? I know. Let's go buy a high-priced quarterback. Brilliant. And I know it's in reverse order, but that's pretty much what they did. They've wasted the benefit of having the young quarterback on the rookie deal. Wasted. And they wasted what you bought when you pay for the veteran quarterback. When you buy the veteran quarterback with big-time money, now you've opened up your draft to go and attack the weaknesses of your roster. You cannot... Under any circumstance, I'm sorry, you cannot go out there and pay a veteran quarterback the money veteran quarterbacks make and then take your biggest asset to improve the team in the first round pick and use it at the same position. It can't, it's poor asset allocation. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It boggles my mind. And then what Buffalo did, too, those are the two idiots of the draft for me. Buffalo, in desperate need of a wide receiver. We just said Diggs went to Houston. Desperate need of a wide receiver. Desperate. And with Xavier Worthy, the fastest 40 time, I believe, ever. And certainly, obviously, the fastest wide receiver in this draft. Sitting there for them at 28. They trade back with Kansas City and give Mahomes that weapon. A team they can't beat when Mahomes has no weapons. When Mecole Hardman is the best wide receiver in Kansas City. They still come into your building and beat you. So you give them the opportunity to get better on your draft pick? That is unbelievable to me. It's one thing to pass on the wide receiver when you need it. You want to trade that to Carolina, which they move back again and trade with Carolina? You want to give Carolina that pick? Fine. I mean, you want to give the 49ers that pick or the Cowboys who are drafting behind them or after their trade. But like, what if you want to trade, I mean, if you want to give it to the 49ers and move back to 31, fine. You can't give it to Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. You can't. I mean, it's just asinine. Two things done in this draft that just boggle my mind.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:33, McMonagle here with you. All right, let's get to it. Brett Long Island is one of the more adamant Daniel Jones defenders. We've gone at it about Daniel Jones before. I wanted the Giants to draft a quarterback. I still do. And I'm not nearly as excited as most are that they got Malik Nabers out of LSU. I think he's a talented football player, but I don't think it impacts the Giants as much as most people do with Daniel Jones. And I still need to have something of a future in my mind that doesn't include Daniel Jones, and that is yet to happen. Right now, Daniel Jones is still the future of the New York Giants, and that disappoints me, makes Brett excited. Plus, he gets to rub it in my face a little bit. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Even that terrible Beatles song that you forced down our throat every single day sounds a little sweeter today.
Yes.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
That's fine. It's a great Beatles song.
I have to hear, oh, we're trading up for Drake May.
They tried.
Oh, J.J. McCarthy spent so much time here, and he knows the system. Get out of here, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Not too late, Giants fans. Jump on board. We're going to the playoffs again
okay.
the second time.
I hope you're right.
Don't listen to Chris.
Right.
He's negative.
Yes.
If you know Chris, every single team we all root for, he's negative.
That's not. Well, I'm a Yankee fanboy. Give me some credit. I'm a Yankee fanboy. I'm extremely positive with the Yankees.
Yeah, I know, but then you're picking them apart too now. Slowly, you'll see. And once it turns, here we go. Oh, Yankees.
Well, the difference is the Giants have been the worst team in football for 6 years. The seasons are over by October.
There's been some worse teams. I couldn't imagine you being a Jets fan. 14 years, no playoffs. I don't know. We went to the division.
All right, we'll see. I'm just saying, now that Washington has a quarterback, who in the division are the Giants better than?
Chris, we're going to be good, baby. We changed the O-line. Got a D-line.
Oh, he changed the O-line. Because they haven't tried changing it before. They didn't change it when they drafted Andrew Thomas. They didn't change it. All right, so
and we got three O-linemen. I'm trying to get you positive here. We got a D-lineman. We just got a good receiver, baby. I'm happy. You're not going to ruin the stay. Goodbye, Chris. Have a good weekend.
Oh, that's it? Oh, come on. Oh, that is so disappointing. I thought he was going to ask me all kinds of questions. He's just happy. All right, good for you.
But I think he was scared off by the news that they tried like hell to trade up for Drake.
Yes, which they certainly did. Again, I firmly believe this. Today was a little bit. I don't think there's any way to say there's none. But I think this is more about they didn't believe in any other quarterback than that they have total faith in Daniel Jones. Because you can't. You can't have total faith in Daniel Jones with what he's put on, the performances on the field, and his injuries. You just can't be overly optimistic and firm belief in Daniel Jones. You cannot. I think there can be some, and I just think they didn't believe in McCarthy. And yes, I might have bought in to the smoke screen, especially when listening to Daniel McCarthy, J.J. McCarthy. I'm mixing up Daniel Jones and J.J. McCarthy. Listening to J.J. McCarthy on the Rich Eisen show and asked where you think you know where you're going, and immediately the Giants comes out of his mouth like, yeah, I admit they even smokescreened using him. I'm hoping that, you know, I'm curious to see how much they lied to the poor guy. But they had no interest with J.J. McCarthy because he was there and they didn't take him. So that's fair. They had interest in one quarterback in this draft. Maybe three, but one that was even plausible. And they tried like hell to move up and take Drake May, and they couldn't get him. And after that, they were going to take a wide receiver. I don't think this is a stamp of approval on Daniel Jones, but he is going to play this year. There's no doubt about it. He was going to play this year no matter who they drafted. But there needs to be a future, and I still don't believe in the Giants' future as long as Daniel Jones is leading it under center. I don't. And hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Brett's right. Hopefully Brett gets to call me when they make the playoffs and rub that in my face. But I think it is far more likely that we are talking about another miserable season, and we are talking about, well, now what do we do at the quarterback position? And I might still have to talk with guys like him and go, oh, another year with Daniel Jones. Oh, the offensive line didn't come together, but you know, you could see by the end of the year it was getting better. And if you just give Daniel Jones, no, this is it. That's what I wanted to say to Brett before he hung up. This is it now. This is the last year of there are no more excuses of Daniel Jones. But my fear is what happens almost every year with Daniel Jones will happen again. They will be terrible. And now you will move on from Shane and Dable because they've had two miserable years. And I don't think they would allow them now to draft a quarterback, which means multiple years still to get. Like, that's investing another guaranteed 2 or 3 years to let this quarterback develop under Brian Daboll, which is what I want. Brian Daboll to develop a quarterback. That's why he was brought here. And now that's never going to happen. Brian Daboll is going to come and go and never develop a young quarterback for the Giants. And that's going to feel like a huge waste. Because as good of a coach overall as he was in year one, we'll find out year two, not so good. And if year three's miserable, he might lose a job. And the one thing we knew for sure he could do was develop a quarterback, and the Giants brought him in and never allowed him to do it. Or he never actually did it. And that will be a waste. That will be a waste for me. Why bring in Brian Daboll and never give him a quarterback? I know they tried to do it with Daniel Jones, and that was the hope. Then he got hurt again, and he was awful. Like, whatever. Neighbors is excellent. That's it. What else can I say? I think he's a dynamic player, and we'll see if it helps. But ultimately, I just don't believe in the future of this team if Daniel Jones is under center. Daniel and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning. By the way, that is to say that is an awful Beatles song that I rammed down your throat. That's on Sgt. Pepper. Nothing on Sgt. Pepper is awful. How dare you all? Go ahead. I'm sorry again, Danny.
I felt like Brett was a little delusional saying that they're going to make the playoffs with Daniel Jones. He's going to get hurt again.
Yep.
I feel like they made a terrible pick with Neighbors. I mean, he should be okay, but they're not going to do much. They really wanted Drake May. They really didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy. Honestly, honestly, like, I don't even want to watch this season. Honestly, like, I'll keep track of the game, but I'm not putting the TV on.
Now we're having the two extremes. I don't think you can't say it's a terrible pick. You just can't. He's too good. He's too good to say it's a terrible pick. Even though I'd like to, because ultimately I wanted the quarterback. I desperately wanted the quarterback. But I have to be fair and honest with myself. I didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy. Never have. I was sold on them believing on J.J. McCarthy, or at least open to the idea of them believing in J.J. McCarthy. And if that was going to be the pick, I would have been all on board. Brian Daboll believes in him. I haven't seen a lot, but who the hell am I? I'll buy into it. Let's go. Let's rock. That would have been I don't care who the quarterback was. I would have loved it. If they would have picked Michael Penix. If they would pick Penix or Bo Nix. Honestly, it didn't matter what quarterback they picked at six. I would have firmly believed they believed in him, and that would have been good enough for me because I think you have to take the chance at getting a quarterback. Daniel Jones is not it. I mean, it's just in plain simple terms. Daniel Jones ain't it. And if you know you have a quarterback that ain't it, you have to find one that could be it. And especially if I'm drafting at the top of the draft, I will always take a chance. That's how I would live my life. If I were a GM, if I were running teams, and maybe I'd get fired from being wrong. And I wouldn't continue to be a GM of a team. But for me, if I don't have a quarterback, I'm drafting at the top of the draft, I'm taking a quarterback. Until I get it right. That's how I would treat it. And I feel like the Giants are in that position. So Neighbors is a good player. He provides a dynamic player at a position that they've been dreadful at for years since Odell Beckham Jr. left. But ultimately, I don't think it helps them that much. I don't think it makes them that much better. I don't think it makes the offense that much better because Daniel Jones is still throwing him the football and he can't get the ball to wide receivers. And you've lost Saquon Barkley. And I still look around the division and I think you can make an argument that Washington's wide receiver room is still better. It's still the worst wide receiver room. It's still it's the worst quarterback room. It's the worst running back room. And you could argue it's the worst defense. And when you're bad at all that, sure, I could take the next 5 years trying to build it up, or I could get a young quarterback like what the Texans did and change everything. But that's just me. 877-337-6666. John and Bayonne, what's up, John?
You know, I'm going to give you the best part of that argument with Duncan, because you can't teach stupid when it comes down to it. You had the pick. You could have traded down and got a couple picks and take your boy, whatever you want to call him. But you were right, head on. You just signed Kirk Cousin, who's a good quarterback, just like I'm a Rams fan, Stafford. What are you doing? Okay? You could get somebody in the third round, fourth round, fifth round. You hit it nail's head. You don't waste a pick like that. And you should have traded down. And traded down till you get the best kind of picks you can.
No, I wouldn't even trade it down for a quarterback. I don't take a quarterback. I mean, but I guess if you were going to take one, if you love Michael Penix and were going to take it, I don't think you could trade down and hope you get him later. I just wouldn't consider taking a quarterback. I can't take a quarterback in the first round. I can't. The first thing I do after signing a veteran quarterback to that kind of money, the first thing I do can't be to draft his replacement. It can't be the first thing I do. I understand that it happened probably too early, certainly for Aaron Rodgers' liking with Love, and maybe in that same situation, that same city, same team, it happened maybe too early for Brett Favre's liking with Aaron Rodgers. So there are, and that's the examples that Duncan used. Yeah, there are, you know, some situations where quarterbacks sit, and you, while still having a good, like legitimately good quarterback where you've seen them draft replacements, but it's years down the line of their careers. You can't sign the guy and then before you give him anything else, draft his replacement with the first pick. It's bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is good. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A two-out, game-tying two-run home run by Scott Rocious.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So I want to just read this to you real quick because it's repeating the question like you would do when you were in high school and rewriting an essay. Like that's how it reminds me of the first paragraph of an essay that I would write strictly by changing a couple words and rewording the question that was asked of the essay topic. You know, you get through, you know, the first paragraph that way. It was an easy way to get through high school. That and paying people to... No, I'm just kidding. So when the crew chief is asked about the flagrant one that Embiid got and why it wasn't a flagrant two, you know, for, you know, bringing down Mitchell Robinson while he was in the air, this was the answer from crew chief Zach Zarba. In that situation, the crew gets together. We go to review the foul. In that instance, the crew was unanimous, along with the replay center official in Secaucus, that the foul was unnecessary but did not rise to the level of a flagrant two. The unnecessary contact rose to the level of a flagrant one, but we were unanimous that it did not rise to the level of excessive contact. Unnecessary and excessive, which would have been a flagrant two ejection. That's why we kept it a flagrant one. Well, that makes sense. So why did you guys keep it a flagrant two? Well, we looked at it and we deemed it unnecessary, and that's a flagrant one, but not so unnecessary to be a flagrant two. So that's why when we looked back at it and we looked at the unnecessary nature of the unnecessary action, we determined that that level of unnecessarity was only valued at a flagrant one. Hence, we did not call it a flagrant two because of the level of unnecessary contact.
He was trying to hit that 500 word count.
I mean, what the hell is that? How about saying when he, like, there's no explanation other than we looked at it, we deemed it not a two. When he pulled him to the ground. I go, it's rapid fire time. Let's get to the calls. You guys made them. I want to take them. Let's go. All the way to 5 o'clock. Another 8 minutes or so. Warm-up show is next. Danny and Glenhead. What's up, Danny? Daniel, my brother, you were first in line, but you're not there. Mick and T-Neck. What's up, Mick?
She's in love with me, and I feel fine.
Oh, okay, my Chris. Guy Mick is back. What's up? Are you sitting alone in the dark at 4:52 in the morning strumming your guitar again, Mick?
I'm not strumming it. I'm just sitting next to it.
Oh, just sitting next to it. Sure.
Listen, Mike told me it's rapid fire.
Rapid fire topic.
Embiid. Embiid should have been ejected. It was clear cut, flagrant two. But he's Embiid. So this is what Coach Thibodeau, in my opinion, should do. He should call one of his third stringers, who's usually on the bench, and tell him, listen, son, I'm going to put you in a certain circumstances.
Yeah.
And I want you to go for every rebound you can possibly go for, but I don't want you to necessarily try to get the ball. When you're jumping, and you're jumping next to Embiid.
Yeah.
We have to fight fire with fire. Because I noticed you have pointy elbows. And when you jump up, you get those pointy elbows in his kidney.
Yeah, I hear you, Mick. You're not the only one who kind of thought maybe throw Sims out there for a little cheap shot just to even the score. Because that is a cheap shot. There's no other way around it. And listen, I know he's not going to get thrown out in this situation. I didn't think for a second. Like, I mean, I thought it's warranted, but never for a second did I think they were going to throw him out of that game. Never. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to just straight up go in there and just start throwing cheap shots. I don't know. I think that's how bad it was from Embiid. I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's a different sport than you hockey lovers. You guys know. In hockey, whew, anything would have been. We would start game four. They wouldn't even throw. They would throw the ball up in the air. It would just bounce and land because they'd be fisticuffs. But I think the best way to go out there and is just to go out there and beat him. I think that's the best way, but they got to figure out a way to slow him down. Alan in Elmont, what's up, Alan?
McAdoo, you guided the WFAN SS right into the dock this morning in the Hudson Yards.
Oh, well, thank you. Safe.
First with the Clemens clip, the 4,000 strikeout, he also got his 300 win in that game, and that'll never happen again.
Oh, no, we'll never see another 300 wins, no.
No, but he got his 4,000 strikeout and 300 win in the same game.
I understand my point is not only will we never see 4,000 in the same game as 300, we'll just never flat out see 300. So,
right. And Johnny Vandermeer's two strikeouts will never be
two back to back no hitters.
Yeah, right. You'll never see three. But anyway, I think Sheamus and the bold one were just looking out for themselves the long run. I mean, this is year three for them.
Yeah.
They're not thinking about developing quarterback.
No, I totally disagree. I 100% disagree with you. Like, I could not disagree with you more. The best way to keep their jobs is to draft a quarterback. That's the best way to keep their jobs. Because if they're in the middle of a developing a quarterback situation, then it's an easier sell to ownership not to fire you after a miserable season. You can't fire me now. We just took the sixth overall pick quarterback. I'm in the middle of making it work for us. Can't fire me now. Now they have nothing stopping. If they have a miserable season, there's nothing to say, hey, you need me.
Well, the Giants have been doing two or three years and you're done there if you don't produce. And
yeah.
Listen, I know you're going to get mad. I think Brian, the bold one, is a scam with these quarterback stuffs. And there's just one last thing. You got Dukes and Jerry warming up in the bullpen, but you really did the draft thing great. I think the Raiders got a steal with the 13th pick.
Yeah. It's a weird fit for the Raiders. They have a tight end, but I mean, I think he's a dynamic player. And I would have, I mean, I just, me personally, I wasn't scared off by the idea of a tight end at 10. It didn't scare me. And this would have been 11, not that that made a huge difference. I still would have rather have had the weapon that I think could help the passing game than the offensive lineman. But I can't quibble about it. I can't get too hung up on it. I can't get too upset by it. I just, if, like the GM of Atlanta says, in a perfect situation, they drafted a player who doesn't play for 6 years. The Jets just drafted a player where, in a perfect situation, he's not on the field in the biggest moments of the season, which he's going to be on the field a lot. It's hard to fathom that everyone stays healthy, but it's just, when you're planning for it to be perfect, and I know you can't necessarily plan that way, but when I take a top pick and I'm so focused on this year, I would have rather have given him the weapon in the passing game. But he's an excellent tackle. He's the second best in the draft. I can't quibble with it. It probably wouldn't have been my pick, but what do I know? Eli in Washingtonville. What's up, Eli?
Yeah, I know, man. That's why I actually called earlier in this offseason and was fit for that Justin Fields trade, because I knew this was going to happen. I knew the Giants were going to miss out on their quarterback.
Yeah.
And we were going to be stuck with these two, you know, guys that Justin Fields is better than both of these guys, I believe. And, you know, then Brian could try to fix this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much better he is, and thank you for the call. I don't know how much better he is or how much I really would want Daniel Jones. I mean, I would want necessarily to replace Daniel Jones with Justin Fields. I'd rather have taken a chance on one of these guys, but I guess. I don't know. I wanted the quarterback because I'm done with Daniel Jones, so you're right. That situation would have at least eliminated that for me or given them another opportunity, but it's year four already. Then you got to pay him. The whole benefit of getting this rookie quarterback is to do it from the beginning of this contract. Sorry, Danny. I tried you before. You weren't there. Try again tomorrow, man. I appreciate the phone call. That's it for me. Thank you, Fleeks. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I don't mean to be a downer, but yeah, the draft picks didn't excite. But that's okay. Tomorrow, later tonight, we got Rangers hockey. That should excite us. Everybody have a great weekend. Let's go Knicks. Let's go Rangers. We got baseball, obviously, over the weekend. Enjoy it. Have some fun. I'll be on the baseball field the entire weekend. That is my life now, that I'm in my 40s with young children. That's what I have to look forward to. But it's awesome. It's good. Right? It's good. Have a great weekend. I'll see you, Nate, later. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. W-A-B-C.